Welcome to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. And it's great to have you on this last Sunday evening of February. Can you believe February is gone already? Tomorrow we start off the March Madness game, and it is a nice balmy weather here in Houston, Texas, and it's nice and dark out here, not too much traffic, but I appreciate you coming into my home, and we're just going to spend the next 55 minutes just discussing some things that are very important in this world, in this probably the people that you work with at the office every day. And I would imagine if you're on the elevator with six people tomorrow at one time, which probably shouldn't be, probably four ought to be the minute limit, about half of those people are going to be dealing with something that we're going to be talking about tonight. I believe this, these statistics of one in four women and one in six boys have been traumatized or abused before the age of 18. I personally believe those statistics are absolutely ridiculous, not even close. I personally think that we probably are leaning in closer to 50% of women and men. Did you not see yesterday or the day before, Washington Post came out with a story that said, oh, by the way, researchers are now starting to discover that possibly young boys could be abused to a higher degree than what anybody ever thought. And it was like, well, that was an aha moment. We knew that all along because we talk about that every week. So it's obvious everybody has some kind of baggage. And tonight we're going to talk about a special baggage that I really don't believe we've talked about specifically. But before we get to our awesome guest this evening, I want to make sure that you can get involved in the conversation by dialing in 888-627-6008. We have a few people in the gallery tonight kind of watching in from the green room, we call it, the side. So they're right here amongst us tonight. So thank you and welcome here. If you're on Facebook Live, you can actually get on there and put comments and questions. My son has been down and out in the hospital. He just got out late last night, and hopefully Curtis is on there. But between breaks, I will scan down through to see if you have any comments or questions, and we'll be glad to talk about them with our guest. Before we get to our guest tonight, we'll let you know next week is an unbelievable guest, and I've been waiting for this for a long time. And I'm only going to try to pronounce her first name, and I think it's Jaywee, J-A-Y. O-U-I, but listen to this. She's a 10-year-old girl that has written a book on bullying, and she's going to be our guest next week. We hooked up with her publisher, and they allowed us to talk to her, and she's going to be right here for the full hour next week, and I can't wait to see life through the eyes of a child next week. So that's going to be awesome. That's next week. And then the following week is Rebecca Ferguson, and she has written a book, and I did an interview with her on a show that she was on with me a few weeks ago, and she has an awesome book, and she's going to be sharing with us that next week. Now, tonight, before we go any further, I just want to welcome our guest, Adrienne Ruan, and she is every time I see this, you realize that the percentage of people that get the opportunity to talk to the world through a little channel of prestige speakers called TEDx, you know we have an excellent and awesome and spectacular professional with us tonight. And Adrienne considers it an honor to guide women in overcoming traumatic experiences to successfully achieve the deepest held dreams and hopes that they have in their life. Does life get any better than that? To be able to help somebody grab a hold of their hand and walk the journey of what this life is together. During the 14 years that she's been in this career, she's dedicated to working directly with clients, and she's developed, and I love this word, a passion for recognizing areas to improve clients' experiences. And it ultimately led Adrienne to the world of continuous process improvement and project management. I'm going to let her tell us the rest of her life story, but welcome tonight, Adrienne Ruan. Can you hear me tonight, Adrienne?
Hi, Dr. Williams. Thank you. Yes, it's wonderful to be here.
And where are you camped out at right now?
I just finally achieved one of my biggest dreams and moved to San Diego in January.
You're in San Diego. I love San Diego. I used to go out when pre-COVID, I was in San Diego almost once a month speaking at some conference there. I just love San Diego. Beautiful, beautiful town. Well, welcome. I appreciate you being here tonight. And I'm trying to think off the top of my head, which has been a long day, where I found you. I believe it was linked, or maybe the Clubhouse talks. I can't remember, but one of those two, I ran across you. I hit your picture and I found out more about what you were doing. And either you commented or I commented on whatever we liked about whatever the other person was doing. I said, hey, wait, when I saw your biography and your bio, it's like, wow, I want you on my program. So I appreciate you being here tonight.
Thank you so much. And because... Is that echo? Is that something that you're hearing too?
No, you're doing okay. Fine.
All right, great. So because I am so fascinated by process improvement and project management, which for anyone who doesn't know is really a way of addressing the root cause of some type of system and looking at it and creating smoothness and beauty with the resources that are available out of the root of a problem or the root of something that you're trying to create. So because of that, I would like to say the way that we met, and I love the way things connect, was actually because of my TEDx. And that was because one of the speakers had introduced me on Facebook to Georgette Todd, who was on a few weeks ago. And so we connected on LinkedIn.
Okay, it was on LinkedIn. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm being told to turn my volume down a little bit, and I just did, so we're in good shape. Fantastic.
Okay, great.
Well, tell me, before we get into the TEDx, because I'm really interested in that, I'll never get to do a TEDx. But anyway, before we get to that, tell me what gets you up every morning. What is your, because normally when we get into this world of helping people that have been traumatized or abused or hurt, there's a personal story. There's some baggage that we're carrying around with ourselves, or a hurt or a pain, or tools that we've learned through that we can actually hand off to somebody else. In your world, when you wake up in the morning, what is it that you say, I hope I get to do this today? Today is the day I want to make sure I get this done. What would that be?
I believe that trauma-informed care is the transformation that our world has been waiting for. It is the reason that I now believe world peace is actually achievable at some point in our future. And because of what trauma-informed care in many different phases of it that have helped me on my journey, because of what it brought me from and where I am now, I know that it is possible for any woman anywhere in our world, no matter what she has been through, to have a true fulfilling life again. And I believe that I have to share that with the entire world, because I never knew that feeling satisfied, content, happy, and having a life that meant something was possible after what I had been through.
And they've done that. For people that are just listening in and may not know the lingo that we're using, trauma-informed care, I'm not for sure was even developed. That word probably wasn't even found a few years ago. What does that mean to you? And what is the importance of trauma-informed care, communities, churches, libraries, schools? What does that mean to you? And explain that to some of the people that are just joining us for the first time tonight, maybe not ever heard it before.
Sure. Trauma-informed care is the way of behaving as a helper of any kind, as a teacher, a parent, a doctor, a lawyer, a courtroom, a library, a school, a way of behaving in by which we presume that the person who we are helping, and even indeed the colleagues that we work with, have been through some type of trauma, and that they bear inside wounds that we cannot see. And therefore, through the practice of being self-regulated, doing our own trauma-informed, our own trauma-aware practices and healing, we then treat others as though they've been through something that has hurt them. And we create safe spaces for people to be human, wherever they are.
Oh, that's good. So I can actually use this trauma-informed mentality practice at Walmart when I accidentally cut off somebody in the shopping line and they go absolutely ape, crazy, and cussing, screaming, raging. It's like, wait, instead of me acting back, I need to realize, hey, something is deeper than me just accidentally cutting you off, right?
Absolutely. And having been the person who was the one who would have probably went crazy on you in the line at one time in my life because of the depth of my PTSD. It's an essential tool that is becoming much better known, but it's still a baby in the world of our medical systems, especially where we need it the most, because that's where we go when we're breaking our mental health and healthcare systems. So yeah, it's a beautiful tool. It's utterly life-changing. It can shift our whole world. And it will. I believe that.
Do you believe our world has been pushed into that shift mode early, since we have all gone through some kind of trauma this last year and everybody has a mental health issue at this point of the game? Tell me one person in the world that doesn't now. Everybody does. We're all in the same boat, right?
I believe, you know, whatever you want to call it, the universe, your higher power, God, I believe that these events have culminated at this time. Obviously, we have world events every so many decades in many different countries, but for the whole world to be experiencing something that is acutely bringing to the forefront the mental health care and lack thereof and lack of tools and especially for those who would have maybe never even thought of it before because they were mentally healthy and never had to worry about it. I believe truly that the time has arrived and there's no better time than when there's a serious pain, you know, there's a void that needs filled. And trauma-informed care, I believe with every part of my being, and that's why I share my story, it's here to help with that.
You know, I think our generation, of course, I'm a generation ahead of you, at least one generation, maybe two ahead of you, but we dropped the ball. That post-World War II, we were taught you don't talk about stuff. Everything stays in your home. And my generation, the 40s and 50s era, the people in that age group, were going to hell in a handbasket, eating ourselves alive with the emotions that we have never come to grips with that had happened to us a week ago, a year ago, 20, 30 years ago, and we were just trying to make it on our own. This shift that we just talked about could change it all. And you just wait. Now, here's a prediction. When Oprah and Dr. Bruce Perry's book comes out the last of April, the whole world will be reading about it like they've never heard of it before. I think it's going to be a big, huge shift. Everybody's going to know more about this, and we're going to be on the cutting edge because we're right there. We're ahead of the game.
Yes, and it's such an honor, right? I have been through so much. And just hearing you talk about it, it just chokes me up because I started my business in December of 2018 on a, just the way that it's happened. I say in my TEDx, I said yes to somebody and somebody was listening because they have called me, to the stage and it's here and it's now. And I was, you know, there's so many of us who are ambassadors for this and we felt it in our souls and in our hearts. And you shared your story before this too. And now it's everywhere. Every Zoom teacher classroom is understanding what's happening in homes like never before. It's in our faces. It's all over the place. We're watching it happen on our streets. We're watching it happen in our neighbors' houses. We're hearing it. We're seeing it like never before. And that's where the reform, it has to come now. There's no option really for our leadership to ignore it. And they know it. And there's changes coming. And there's so many organizations and even groups that are now lobbying our government to make changes.
Yeah. And in your state, to give some praise and honor to California, because a lot of times California doesn't give much praise, but they are in line and probably the first in line to put money where their mouth is, because the insurance companies are starting to realize, hey, wait, if we fix this problem, they won't have the mental and the physical breakdowns later on. We need to put a little bit of money up front, which is a lot of money, what they're putting down millions of dollars up front to prevent them, it costing them billions later from health issues. So this is such a huge issue. So tell me, we have about 2 minutes before we go to our first break. Tell me what got you involved with being a TEDx speaker. And then on the other side of the break, we're going to find out what you talked about. But how did you get involved in that? And what kind of experience that was? And why did they? Because that's not an easy task. I've been on the list and I've been overlooked. How did you do that? Tell me just briefly, nutshell.
I went to my first TEDx last December of 2019 in LA, TEDx Del Thorne Women. The curator, Arena Ferguson, is incredible. I was introduced to that TEDx by the producers of SheTV Media, Meredith and Natalie, Meredith Ginger and Natalie Perez. And the reason I know them is because my daughter and I are being featured in one of their series of their mini documentary coming out, Scars Unseen. It was a really neat chain of events that led up to that introduction. And then I applied, and for 2020, Arena said, you know, the world needs to hear this story. And so she selected me.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And when we come back after our first break, I want to take the mask off, if we can, Adrian. And let's get down to the ugly and dirty of what's happened that caused the hurt and the pain that interests you now to make sure other women have ways to get through it in their own life. Okay. So I'll let you think about that for about 1 minute and 7 seconds. And on the other side of this first break, we'll talk about what happened to you that caused you to turn down this road and now reach out to other people and want to help them. You can get involved in the conversation at 888-627-6008 or Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. And we're live on there right now. And most of all, we are completely around the world tonight. So get involved in the conversation. On the other side of this first break, we're going to have more with Adrian Ruan. Don't leave us. Be right back. Finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the 3-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come. the Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the BBS Radio Network. All righty. Well, welcome back and grab your cup of coffee or soda. Join in on the conversation. We have Adrian Ruan with us tonight from San Diego, California, all the way on the other side of the country. And she's going to share with us now. She's been sharing a little bit about what she's passionate about. But we're going to dig a little deeper now. And I will go as far as you want to go, and I won't push you, Adrian. But when we get into this part of our world and it starts becoming our mission for the rest of our life, our destiny, our purpose, why we think we've been even created, something usually major has happened that caused us to be wired that way. What happened in your world that has caused you to say, hey, wait, this is something that I want to spend possibly the rest of my life helping other people out with?
Well, long story short, I did not believe that it started in my childhood. I believed that it had started when I met a man who sought me out in our neighborhood when I was 16. I ended up marrying him after a secret relationship that I hid from my parents. This man was 24 years older than me. Actually, I want to say 26. It's when you go through the healing, like I was talking about earlier, it's incredible how it fades to the background. Things that you used to think you would never be able to forget ever, as long as you lived, that were just such a part of your life. But as time's gone on, I've been able to really grow past it. But basically, he was a previously registered sex offender, we found out years later. And he targeted me in our neighborhood. We were homeschooled and we were home all the time. And I was out walking my dog one night, morning, night, can't really remember exactly, but he had gotten a puppy, which later, you know, I postulate that was done on purpose and, you know, how you have to put it all together later. But anyway, he came over and introduced himself to me, and that was the beginning of the end for me as far as, you know, I had been seeking to escape. And it's funny because, again, I, as my healing journey progressed, I didn't realize until probably 3 years ago before I truly started realizing how deeply my childhood had affected me. But the literal reason I met him was because I was out in my backyard walking the dog to get out of the house because there was a fight going on in the house. And I was escaping that and daydreaming of the day I would meet my knight in shining armor who would come along and take me away. And people often are so hard on girls, young girls, especially teenage girls. We act as if they're supposed to be these starstruck, you know, oh, boy crazy, et cetera, et cetera. But to me, I postulate that that is actually the side effect of so much trauma that's going on. If one in four women are going through abuse during childhood before they're 18, that means one in four women are dreaming of getting the heck out of there. And that is why they're looking for someone to help them. And very few are able to do that by themselves, even though we do have more resources now. So in any case, I was looking for someone to get me out. And I was homeschooled and raised in such a way that we were really taught, on one hand, yes, you can grow up and go to college and do whatever you want. However, on the other hand, you were also to grow up and become a wife and have kids and be a good girl. Right. So, there was a religious component there. It was not so organized, because there was a lot of things that were trying to be hidden. For example, the abuse that was going on in my childhood, towards all four of us, I went through it. And I'm the oldest of four children. So it's an incredible journey when I look back, and there was a lot of physical abuse, a horrendous amount of emotional abuse and psychological abuse. Both my parents One has been diagnosed now with a mental health personality disorder, and another has not been, although I would bet a year's salary on the fact that they do. And so basically, looking back, you know, there was this yearning or seeking to hide many things that were going on, drug use. There was involvement in the drug community by one of my parents, and that was really what was happening there with trying to homeschool us and keep us out of organized religion and keep us home, was ultimately, I believe now, to keep that out of anyone's sight. And so anything that no, there was no accountability anywhere. So the behavior was whatever was felt like happening on the day that it happened on, right? So if somebody was in a great mood, then you could behave one way and everything was fine. And then the next day you behave the same way. And maybe you went flying across the room, or one of your siblings did, or the list goes on and on and on.
As far as your memory and recollection in within the home, there was that abuse all the time. Argument.
Physical. Yeah, consistently from the time I can about 6 years old was the time that I remember it starting. I don't know if it was happening before that, because I just don't remember. But I do remember from about that point on, something had happened and my mom became very despondent for a summer. At least it felt like a whole summer to me. And from that point on, there was just lots and lots of fighting. There were, of course, periods of calm between my parents, but for the most part, after that, there was lots of fighting. And then as my brothers started to come up along behind my sister and I, that was when the abuse really started to escalate, because they were challenged, right, in the home. And you know, this is the first time I've shared this much detail, because there's also that element of shame that we hold. We're not supposed to talk about this. We're supposed to keep it this secret, and you're never supposed to tell. And the way I look at it is, we have got to talk about this, because how else are we ever going to show others that, A, it's not okay? You know, spare the rod and spoil the child is not, we're finding, we know this now, is not the way to raise a healthy, you know, happy, balanced individual. And so that's one aspect. That is why I talk about this and why I'm speaking about it more. And also the second aspect is that we can heal from it, because it is a reality of life. So many homes still employ this methodology, and not just in first world countries. Think about third world countries who are that much farther behind. It's just so incredible, but we have to share the story, because the world needs to know that you can grow up with anything. You can grow up with in war-torn places. You can grow up in a war-torn home, as I like to call it, and you can still come out the other side. But what happens, and what we don't often see, is the damage that's done right here and here between that mind-body disconnect, where I was constantly hoping and seeking to be gone. And that's what opened me up to the vulnerability of the sex offender.
Okay. So with that thought in mind, a lot of times we, as a society, blame the teenager for making this rational move. What did they do, run away? Or what did they do that make that choice? When in reality, sometimes they're looking for a way out from what they're living in that looks like a promised land, because they have been, do you think you were groomed to a particular extent? You said he bought the dog. He knew what he was doing. He was a lot older than you. He saw you coming. He saw you maybe having a bad days out walking just to get out of the house. And he manipulated that situation and started drawing you in. Is that what happened?
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, our houses where we lived were fairly close together. And I know, because I would be outside in our little garden in the back that I was growing, that you could hear my parents from outside. I am certain that he knew what was going on in that home. Eventually, Children's Services and police were involved, and they even postulated that he had seen me outside of his workplace, because we used to go pick up food orders in a food co-op outside of his workplace, and even bought the home down the road from where I lived, two houses down. So he ended up, we found later, had been a registered sex offender in the past of an even younger child, an 8-year-old girl. And so that's, you know, a public record. And so it's just unbelievable. There are people out there who, and I know our sex trafficking world is the same. They are actively seeking women, young girls, even young boys who are in these positions in homes where, you know, and a lot of emotion does come up when I talk about my parents and what they did. But on the other hand, they had childhoods that created them. And so that's why I'm so passionate about sharing this. We have to stop it.
So this, you're breaking the cycle.
Exactly.
Yeah. 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 I was taping a webinar this afternoon, sexual trafficking for doctors in the state of Texas. Doctors have to have now CME hours to keep your medical license on human trafficking.
Thank God.
I was taping those because I'm a certified sexual trafficking educator, and I was taping those this afternoon, and I got into the camera as close as I could, and I said, by the way, if you're a parent, you better tell your daughter and son that they are beautiful, they are loved, they are special, they are a masterpiece, they are unique, and you care about them, because if you don't, that Romeo is going to be over there and go, hey, honey, you look good today. And they hook them, and then they're gone. And so this older man that was a sexual perpetrator or had that background got a hold of you, and you married him?
Yeah, so there was a point where my parents did find out. And he had tried to befriend my parents. So he came over and he baked a cake and came over and introduced himself to them. And ultimately, you know, my family, my parents ended up splitting up over it, because he really, my mom was going through abuse as well. And so he ultimately ended up befriending her. And my dad was obviously furious and obviously didn't know how to handle it. So, he left, and they divorced because of that, although I'm sure they would have divorced eventually over something. And then at one point, my dad had told me, you know, you need to choose. You can either be a Ruan or you can be a Pizarro. And I, at that point, was like, well, I'm certainly not staying here, because I know what life is like here. And, you know, I was very rebellious by then. You know, he had filled my head with all of the things, right? Well, your parents are so mean to you, which... And they were trying what was their best, which unfortunately falls far from the mark. And I actually talk about this in my TEDx about how I struggle with being verbally abusive to my daughter. And it is like, it's unbelievable what you learn. What is,
it automatically comes out, right?
In. Oh, it comes out. And unless we are taught how to do what I mentioned earlier, that self-regulation, and then what's called repairing the relationship with that child when we've hurt them, we don't teach anyone how to do that. Unless you had a parent or a grandparent or a loved one, a caregiver who taught you the art of coming back to a child whom you've hurt and repairing that wound that you've inflicted upon them, that's what starts to grow them apart from you, right?
How many times have I caught myself, and after I said it to one of my boys, I go, oh my God, I sound just like my dad. And that was the last person on the face of this earth that I swore I would ever sound like. Yeah. As you look back on this, Adrian, what's it like to have been targeted by a sexual predator at 16 years old? What's it feel like now as you look back on that?
Now it feels very different. But when I went through the agony of that, it was scary. It was hard to get away. I ended up having my daughter with him. He was extremely abusive. I feared for my life so many times. And then hers, once she was born, which was the gift that finally got me out, was that I, you know, we don't care as much about ourselves because our self-worth is in the crapper because of what we've been through. So it took her to come along and really show me that I had to get out. And I finally did when she was two. But, you know, he stalked me. He sent people into my work, his girlfriends, pretending to be clients. It was unbelievable. He was incredible. And I always kept saying, I'm going to be the one who stops him. I was his third wife, I found out later. And I was like, he's going to be sorry he ever met me. I was fueled by fury after I was scared. What ended up helping me was I wanted to become a detective to help other women. And I enrolled in a police academy and I actually took the whole entire academy. I ended up hurting myself, which is tied to childhood trauma. I have two autoimmune conditions, I found out eventually. And that was why I was so easily injured. But, it was interesting because a lot of people who have been through extreme long-term childhood trauma. And when I say extreme, you know, people think, you know, kids in cages, it doesn't have to be that to wound someone to the point where their body starts to break down with autoimmune illnesses or PTSD or these types of things. But I was furious. Finally, when I went through the police academy, it was the first time I ever heard of domestic violence. It was the first time I ever understood that there was a law against what he had done to me. And then I got angry. And then that's when I went to court through the divorce and custody. And, he ultimately ended up abusing my daughter as well. And the sad part was nothing was done in the criminal system. Because when you're going through a domestic court case, it's pretty disgusting unless it's outright blatant, easy to prove. They refer you back to the domestic courts. And just a side note, this is something I teach a lot. I am feeling this right now. So I'm feeling the emotions and the feelings. And I'm feeling my face flushing. And so this is a actual reaction to those memories. So there's certain memories that I've processed through on my healing journey that I can talk about with no problem. This is one, the one about my daughter, that really still gets me. And it ended up twice in court before they gave me full custody with him not having any in-person visitation. And so while I cannot say that he has a criminal record because of it, I have my testimony and I ended up basically going bankrupt, taking out loans, credit cards, everything that I could possibly do to prove that he had done what he did by hiring private investigators, forensic psychologists, and five attorneys I went throughout the whole entire 8 years to be able to prove what he had done. And I felt like I had to go in there and become as though even though he had done what he had done to me and to her, unless I had money or had a way of holding it over their heads that they would be responsible, which is what I ultimately ended up doing. I told my lawyer to make sure he conveyed that if something ever happened to her, I would be standing on the front steps of that courthouse until I died with a sign letting people know the name of the magistrate that sent her back to him. And it's just unbelievable. That system that I went through, from what I hear, they're improving, but it's infuriating. It's the kind of thing that makes you just wonder how we live in the 21st century and these things still happen. And now I don't wonder why women end up broken, on drugs, on welfare for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
How do you live with that?
Yeah, I mean, how long ago has this been, Adrian?
I married him in 2004, and I left him in 2008, and we've been to court three times, the most recent being in 2019, when I tried to move to Florida, and he tried to stop me.
So the battle still rages, and this is still fresh, per se.
He seems to have fallen off lately, but we'll see. The more I speak about it, the less he seems to bother me, which is another powerful tool that women have that we don't always understand, that when we share our story, it creates a different kind of power within us and around us that, yes, it is dangerous at times when you're first leaving, but especially that police academy, I took the entire defensive tactics courses, right? I learned how to take care of myself, and he knew that.
Okay, we're going to take our last break. On the other side of this break, because we've talked about according to your different stages that you go through, we've gone through two of them already, but to get to that point of turning from a victim into a victor or to thriving is something that I really want to dig into, because I have a feeling that I believe in divine appointments, like you said a while ago, that people meet for certain reasons. But I believe there's a timing also that divine meetings. There's people listening tonight, and my emails and my texts, I'm going to go through, are going crazy. Because I have a feeling there's some people on the edge of their seat saying, wait, how did you get through this to become a thriver to become a victor. We're going to talk about that on the other side of this last commercial break. 888-627-6008. And we'll be right back. The last segment of Breaking the Silence.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
I'll tell you what, I'm looking. My son's texting me, and I'm looking at the comments. Our comments are just flying off the walls. We have a comment that I want to just throw out right now, and I told my son I would. From a new friend of mine, Forrest Lane. I believe Forrest is in the San Diego area, I believe, if he remembers right. But he just wrote a book that he sent me, and I'm reading it, called Blue Angel, and it's unbelievable. But he has a question, and you're hitting heartstrings tonight, and that's what this show is all about. I love it. Okay, and he's asking this. I feel tremendous guilt, not when I've done something that warrants it, just the feeling is always under the surface. Do you feel the same? And if so, how do you deal with that guilt?
Mm-hmm. Not anymore, but it owned me for most of my life.
It owns you.
For most of my life, but not anymore.
How did you free yourself from that?
So that's part of the story of turning from a victim to a thriver, right?
Okay, this is a good segue. Thank you, Forrest. Okay.
Yes, thank you for your question. It's incredible what that decision. I ultimately came to my knees. So what happened was I ended up winning the big court case finally, where I was awarded full custody and he ended up with supervised visitation. And then I broke. I fell apart. My life started to fall apart. I started to process what had happened. I had already been diagnosed with PTSD. I soon thereafter was diagnosed with my two autoimmune conditions. And I ended up on my way to kill myself because I had been screaming at my daughter so much one day in the car that I basically, at 8 years old, was telling her to get out of my car. And I couldn't handle that was guilt, right? Guilt can come out in so many ways. And I didn't know that. And I thought I was just some sick, messed up mom who couldn't handle life anymore. And that I just, the world would be a much better place. Would I just not be in it? And I was dealing with a lot of work stress too, because I was also trying to keep together a life. I had been dating someone who I was the first time I actually had fallen in love. Because when you're trauma in a very traumatic relationship, a lot of times we think it's love. It is not love when you get pulled in by a sex offender, let me tell you, or by any manipulative person with, you know, narcissism, basically, which that's a whole nother topic. But any case, I gave up, but yet when I was in my angry place, I had said, yes, I had said, I'm going to make sure this cannot happen anymore. And so as I was leaving, as I was preparing to be done, I heard, you know, but you said yes. And I slid to my kitchen floor and started bawling because I knew, yeah, I had said yes. And so I started calling places to find help. And I was really learning at that point. I started learning to just go with my gut no matter what anybody says. I stopped caring what other people thought. And I started being like, you know what? I'm here and I need help. And this is what's got going on. And if your answer doesn't make sense, I'm out of here. So I had a doctor tell me once when I was in a lot of pain that I was getting old. I was 25. And, you know, I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. You know, this, you don't acknowledge what I'm going through. I'm out. So what I was really looking for was trauma-informed care, but I didn't know it.
Exactly.
And so I finally found it. And that was the beginning. And what I ended up finding helped me the most, and what I firmly believe is some of the biggest work that people with extreme, all levels of trauma, but especially if you have that trauma that's just ripping your life to shreds, body work modalities are so important. And for me, it ended up being myofascial tissue release, which is similar to Dr. David Bristelli's trauma releasing exercises. There's a book, you can look that up. Dr. Peter Levine talks about body work in his book, Waking the Tiger. Dr. Bessel van der Kolk talks about body work in his book, The Body Keeps the Score. And so what we're finding with functional MRIs that have come out in the 90s and with all of this science that's been going on, especially with Dr. Bessel van der Kolk since the 70s now, is that the brain and the body are intrinsically tied together. There's no way to separate them. And that's what we try to do, is separate ourselves from the trauma. And then when we try to live and anything or anyone reminds us of what we went through, we go back to that place like that, and we're there and we're reacting. And that's what's derailing our lives. And that's what was derailing my life. So that body work, what ended up happening was it helped me to not only help my autoimmune conditions get to a manageable place, but also helped me to start not feeling those intensive triggers. They started to become less and less. And as I started to realize that those things that happened to me were what made me that way, and it wasn't me that had been doing all of those outbursts and reactions and poor choices, that I was trying to survive and I had done my best. As the years went on and I did that work and had people around me telling me that and reminding me how incredible I was to keep going and how important it was to share my story, to get that kind of help, then suddenly I started to be free from those chains of guilt. And that's when life opened up.
That's deep and that's good. I hope if people are listening to this, you watch the replay and catch that. We're at the 8:47 mark. Catch that and listen to that again, because there's a lot of truth into that. Do you believe, and when you was talking about when you was in the car and you were acting out or screaming at your child, you wasn't screaming at her. You were screaming at what she represented of everything of the past, right? Of how he absolutely manipulated your world.
Absolutely. And, you know, even getting to the point where you have to address the fact that your entire life is shaped by what you've been through. Would I even have a child if I hadn't met him, right? These are questions that people think of as ugly and unspeakable. And yet we must go through that place. Or else how shall we truly live and be authentic?
Oh, that's good too. You know, I started last week's show off with a statement that I got several comments that was really a goofy statement, but I started off with something like, everything in life affects everything in life. And when we go through that stuff, it does. And the way I get dressed in the morning is because of the way I have processed how to have everything controlled in my life. I have to have my shirt here, my pants here, my socks here. It has to be just right, or I can't rest until it's just right. It's that OCD stuff. And it's because of, not that I am a nut, it's because I had to learn how to control what I could control when I was a kid, and that's how I survived.
It is survival, and we don't think of it because we don't talk about it, but the way that we behave, the way that we dress, the way that we speak, the way that we react, you know, they've added a new, you know, there's fight, flight, right? fight, flight, freeze, and now fawn is becoming a more well-known.
Yes, the fawn.
Yeah, and I had that with, especially with bosses. You know, it's like you're like known as the butt kisser or whatever, and it's like, no, you're just trying to survive because you know they're going to find you out one day and they're going to be horrified at your story and be like, get the hell out of my office. Like, I don't even want to know you, right? Like, that's, you're just desperately trying to fit into a world where you feel like someone's going to find you out at any moment. And because you don't fit the narrative of what would be acceptable in polite society, you do have a risk of potentially being alienated. And it has happened to me, which is one of the reasons that I talk about it, you know? But really, those bodywork modalities are just incredible. And the science proves it, you know. Shout out to trauma recovery yoga, Joyce Bozen, the Tri Method out in Las Vegas. She brought me out there on a scholarship last year and helped me become a teacher for that. And it's incredible the way people feel after a class where that's, you know, specifically designed to help bring your brain and body together. My trauma coach, somatic experiencing coach, Gregory Struve, he's an incredible resource. There's so many bodywork modalities available that are just on the fringe right now, but that the science is just blowing up with how well it works with trauma survivors. It's incredible. It is possible. And that's why I talk about what I talk about.
That's great. How free was it to actually stand up and tell your story for the first time? How freeing was it to open up the trunk? And that's the illustration that I have in my new book. Open up the trunk and you start throwing out the baggage. Tell me about the freedom.
Okay, so there's two parts to that, because the unpacking part, you might want to make sure you're doing it in a real safe space first of all.
Because absolutely.
Even talking to you now, I'm having, you know, the somatic experiences. I'm feeling hot. I'm definitely feeling a little shortness of breath now. I'm using techniques that I've been taught to help me be able to speak to you where I don't look like I'm doing that so much. But a few years ago, I could not have done this. But when you finally have the ability to not melt down or feel like you're drained for a week after you tell somebody your story, or like you're some awful, shameful human and you don't deserve to live on the face of the earth after you tell your story, there's nothing else like it. I truly feel like I am deserving to be at any table. At any table on the face of this earth, I will gladly sit and talk to anyone, because I know now, you know, my survival instincts aren't constantly telling me that I'm less or that I'm a target. I can be in this world now.
Okay, we only have a couple minutes left. With you becoming free and telling, that getting to helping someone else stage, which is the last stage, to me, that is the answer to all the other stages. And sometimes it takes a while to get there. Sometimes I've read your stages and they're beautiful, but sometimes I'll get back to an earlier one and then I have to reach out and help somebody. And everybody says, why are you putting this much time into answering every phone call and every text and email? Because it's my therapy. What about you? Tell me about how you're helping. We only have like a minute and a half left. How you're helping people and consulting and the trauma recovery academy that you have.
Well, it's my purpose now, right? I believe that you can take whatever you've been through, you become the lived experience expert, and you filter that experience into something beautiful. And then you take that path that you've learned and you teach somebody. So I do that in a few different ways. My website is adrianruan.com. I teach trauma recovery yoga, and I teach Trauma Recovery Academy. I have taken great lengths to ensure both of them are as affordable as possible, because that is another tragedy in our world, is that many people who go through trauma either don't even know how to use the insurance that they have in a way that will help them, or are not able to afford the resources that are not covered by insurance, because the insurance is usually, what, 20, 30 years behind the science. And so until that time, I strive to make this as available as possible. And I'm collecting resources on my YouTube channel. It's in process, right? And that's the thing, is just stepping out and saying, here I am, and here's what I have to share, and it will grow on its own. It doesn't have to be the most perfect. It doesn't have to be the most shiny object in the room, but it has to be out there, because the more of us who share this and teach others how we did it, and stand by those others when they have their ugly days. That's what I like to say. When you're on your ugly day, what you do not want around you is someone who's going to bail, because right. that's going to hurt you more. That's going to be another trauma. So creating a space where people can exist in all their glory of trauma, it's transformative. When you transform something like that painful, the bigger the trauma, the more incredible the comeback.
Fantastic. If people want to get in touch with you, Adrian, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you? Say your website again, and then if there's an email or anything, or they can connect with you through that website. Say it one more time so they can catch it.
It's Adrian Ruan. That's my name. It's everything is Adrian Ruan. I've made it as simple as possible. And Ruan is spelled R-O-U-A-N. And I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I have my website, adrianruan.com, LinkedIn. Everything's out there. My phone number, my email, it's all out there for you to easily find, because trauma survivors need it to be easy.
Fantastic. I want to tell you what, we're out of time and I wish we had another hour, but I appreciate you walking this journey and sharing your journey with us and just reaching out. And I appreciate you going through the stress of telling it. And you've handled that beautifully. And thank you, Adrian, in San Diego, California, for everything, anything you need from Houston, Texas. With me, you just holler and I'll be in your corner, I promise. Thank you so much for sharing tonight. And we'll have
Thanks
you back
for having
on.
Me.
That's all right. I'd love to have you back on.
Sure.
We'll
I'd love that.
Thank you so much. As we finish up tonight, I always like to finish each program each week with saying the same thing. No matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're involved in right now, no matter what's going to happen to you tomorrow, I want to let you know there is always, always, always hope. I promise you that. There's always hope. Join us right here next week, 8 p.m. Central Time, live from Houston, Texas, for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless and have an awesome week. See you later.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.